Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last Wednesday, Vermont State College's Chancellor Jeb Spaulding told lawmakers on a Senate call that the state college system was in crisis, and he was looking at a reconfiguration. By Friday, he had announced that the path forward he was recommending was a complete closure of three campuses, both branches of Northern Vermont University in Lyndon and Johnson, and the Vermont Technical College residential campus in Randolph. Some of the NVU programs would move to Castleton University, and the VTech programs would consolidate at the facility in Williston. This recommendation was met with shock and dismay by many who say they felt blindsided. But the state college system has been struggling for years. It is one of the lowest-funded systems in the country in terms of legislative support, and recent moves to shore up the finances within the system have had limited success. Chancellor Spaulding himself called for a nearly doubling of state contributions, an extra $25 million a year, back in January, saying, quote, "If the state refuses to invest in its public education system for the post-secondary years, they are making a decision that they are okay with Vermonters not accessing a high-quality post-secondary education system at an affordable cost." Regardless of where the blame lies, and there is a lot of blame being thrown around right now, the students, staff, and community members affected by these potential changes stand to be the biggest losers, and they're expressing grief and bewilderment as well as anger. Today on the show, we're going to hear the perspective of a student at NVU Lyndon. We'll have about two-thirds of the show with the chancellor, Chancellor Spaulding, and then we'll hear from the chairman of the Board of Trustees, which was scheduled to vote on this recommendation yesterday, but has postponed a vote by at least a week. We're going to speak now with Bobby Saba. Bobby is a sophomore at NVU Lyndon and newly elected president of the school's American Meteorological Society and National Weather Association. Bobby, congratulations on those honors, and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Well, tell me a little bit about what it felt like to you when you heard this recommendation. Was it a total surprise? And what were you feeling?
You know, we as students in the Vermont State College system were aware of the struggles of the system as a whole. You know, they had been addressed to us. But this decision truly seems, you know, we seem blindsided by it. You know, we understand that there are problems and solutions need to be thought up of. But, you know, none of us at any level in these communities think that this is going to be the best for not just our communities, but the state of Vermont as a whole.
So what are you going to do? You're a sophomore now. You're planning, I guess, to have your junior year at NVU Lyndon. It's unclear what's going to happen at the moment, and it could be that Lyndon's campus is still around in the fall, but what are you thinking?
You know, there are too many ideas to even think of. It's really hard to narrow down what I would do based on situations. You know, I knew for a majority of my life that I wanted to become a broadcast meteorologist. And for the greater part of my high school years, I knew that Lyndon State College, now Northern Vermont University, was going to be my landing spot. And, you know, to have my dream crushed in such a situation is absolutely heartbreaking. You know, I can't even start thinking of what my next moves would be because this had been a decision I knew I was going to be making for years.
Yeah, at Lyndon State, now NVU Lyndon, is known around the country for its meteorological programs and for its ability to graduate people who go into really big careers in broadcast meteorology. And it sounds like that's something that you've had on your mind from a very young age.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I knew from, you know, about the age of 4 or 5 that I was interested in the weather and wanted to pursue it in a broadcast fashion. And, you know, I want to make it be known that it is not just this major that's going to suffer, you know, exponentially from the closure of this campus. You know, us, along with a big handful of other programs at all three Vermont State schools, are really going to suffer a hard blow from this proposal.
Now, Bobby, you're not from the Northeast Kingdom originally, right?
I am not.
So do you feel like you have the mobility to move around, to find a different college program, or to travel with your major if it goes, for example, to Castleton?
You know, I think a big reason Linden has developed the reputation it has in so many programs are the resources it has to offer its students, regardless of their origin point. You know, myself, potentially more than others, are more mobile. However, the resources, and it was made clear yesterday at the Board of Trustees meeting that there is real no concrete plan of moving programs, let alone the resources that these programs offer, which is the big reason a lot of us are here. In a major such as atmospheric sciences, you know, there's a large percentage of out-of-state students that came here for the affordable education that the system had to offer.
And you don't know that that would be available to you if the program moved?
They're asking a lot of not only the program name, but the program reputation to move hours while remaining in the state, but to a completely new geographic location and potentially with some new faculty and staff who may not be able to move with it.
So, Bobby, you said that, you know, it was known to you that the state college system was struggling, and it's been known to many in the area for a while that, you know, the NVU campuses, you know, the consolidation into NVU and other things that have been designed to try to make sure that these campuses can keep going, you know, that things have been tough. So what is it that you would like to see the state do, given the financial realities that the state college system is facing?
You know, you addressed it earlier, and I want to try to dig into people's minds that the past is in the past. You know, it has been made clear that money has been requested, but those aren't our only options. You know, again, it's been known for years by not just the students, but the Board of Trustees and Chancellor Spalding that creative thinking was needed. And while, yes, the merger of Johnson and Linden State was a little bit of that creative thinking showing, you know, there were more things that could have been done to, I don't want to say completely overdo what is occurring now. You know, nobody could plan for this pandemic, but to put ourselves in a better situation, both financially and educationally speaking.
I mean, that seems like perhaps what they've been trying to do, right? I mean, if you give everybody the benefit of the doubt that everybody is working in what they see as the best interests of the system and the best interests of students and staff, you know, do you have a sense that perhaps that question of financial sustainability just couldn't be reached?
You know, I think a big thing is not just about in the past, but especially in the future. The VSCS projects that about 400 students, if the proposal goes through, will transfer to Castleton. And Chancellor Spalding actually named two New Hampshire state schools by name. And, you know, retention in the VSCS is a problem for years at all campuses. You know, let it be known that it is not just at the NVU campuses or the VTC Randolph campus that student retention is a problem. And it is being made apparent to us that, you know, the students are not in mind. It is simply the financials of the system as a whole, while, you know, in reality, it is for the benefit of Vermont. But, you know, to have no problem saying that, you know, about 1,600 students are going to potentially leave the system, it seems that they are very narrow-minded in the ways that they are trying to, quote-unquote, better the system.
Well, Bobby, I really wish the best for you and all of your classmates as things continue to unfold here, and I appreciate hearing your perspective today.
Thank you very much.
That's Bobby Saba, a sophomore at NVU Linden. Danielle writes in to say, as a 2012 Linden State alum, this decision will not only disrupt and destroy the lives of current students, faculty, and staff, but it's also going to cripple the economy of the surrounding communities in these rural areas. Pat teaches psychology at NVU Linden and emails, I just got out of one of my Zoom classes. Students were devastated. Before Spalding's bombshell on Friday, students, like all of us, were struggling financially, emotionally, and socially living in a pandemic. This potential closure of our campuses with no warning or plan has ripped through our lives like a tsunami. Roderick says, you don't need to shut. What is required is a new management system. You don't need to lose a culture and tradition that has taken many years to develop. Pete says there has to be a way around this. These schools are critical. Vermont needs to grow and adapt. There's so much need for these schools on so many levels. And Justin says, NVU Johnson allowed me to save thousands by commuting from Cambridge. I was able to stay in my community, continue working, and get a valuable education all at once. I'm thankful that my legislators in Lamoille County will fight to protect these schools. And let's go to Shane, who's calling in from Johnson. Hi, Shane. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Jane, for taking my call. I just want to politely suggest that the chancellor should probably be looking for a different line of work. If he cared as much as he says that he does about the strength of the Vermont State College system, he's been involved with state government for 35 years at various levels, and he's had plenty of time to make a change. Over that time, the problem has only gotten worse, with less and less funding for the state colleges coming from the state government. But beyond that, the way this whole process has played itself out is pretty much the definition of fiscal malpractice. And Jeb has been going around talking about the state college system as a corporation, so I want to use his terms. If the CEO of a corporation were to make a public announcement that their company was in deep trouble and was thinking of shedding assets without the knowledge and approval of their board of directors, that CEO would be unemployed. So if Jeb wants to act like he's in the corporate world, let's give him that and fire him like any corporation would.
Well, Shane, I hear your anger and appreciate your thoughts there. Let's go to Matthew Hill, who's a state representative for the Lamoille 2 district and is calling in from Walcott. Hi, Representative Hill. Nice to talk with you.
And thank you, Jane. You know, Shane makes a good point, but I'll like to, you know, I prefer to ask Jeb a question directly if he's able to answer it. And over the past few years, Jeb has been blaming the legislature for the closure of NVU. So I'd like to know, why did he refuse to fund the colleges when he was the chair of appropriations, the treasurer, or the secretary of administration over the past 30 years?
I'll put those to the chancellor, Representative Hill, when we get him. But what about the legislature's responsibility? I mean, in January, in the past couple of years, how would you frame what the legislature has or has not been doing?
Sure. So, you know, the past 3 years, ever since I've been elected, you know, we've had a pretty friendly legislature to the VSC. And, you know, there's certainly a pretty sizable number of us that have been fighting for the state college system. You know, and this is certainly a shock. The announcement was certainly a shock, and we're certainly, you know, now we're in a scramble to fix it. So I don't, you know, I'm not saying that the legislature is not completely to blame. But believe me when I say that we are working very hard to find a solution when it seems like the state college system is not working very hard to find a solution.
Well, that's a good point to break at, and we'll come back with Chancellor Spaulding in just a moment. We're looking at the recommendation that he made last week to close 3 campuses in the Vermont State College system and consolidate the offerings. Thank you to Representative Hill for that. Olivia emailed in to say the students registered for the fall will have nowhere to go because financial deadlines have passed. My daughter is a first-generation college student like so many are. If these kids lose their momentum, many will not finish school. I know my daughter is safe and well cared for at NVU Linden. We won't necessarily get that at any other school. And Charlotte says, no one disputes that the state college system is in financial distress. The question is how to restructure in a way that preserves its value to all Vermonters. What alternatives has the board discussed to closing campuses? What data are they analyzing? Why not spread the pain equally across the system? Why not ask all students to forego room and board refunds instead of shuttering campuses with award-winning programs? Well, let's talk now with the man who made the proposal in the first place and is taking the brunt of the criticism at the moment, State College Chancellor Jeb Spaulding. Chancellor Spaulding, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for the opportunity to spend some time with you, Jane, and your listeners.
It won't come as a surprise to you to hear so many people expressing shock, anger, sadness, you know, as we heard, real anger at you in particular. You made this proposal. Before we get into some of the details and some of the responses, can you outline why you think it's necessary to close the campuses at NVU Linden and Johnson and the Vermont Tech campus in Randolph?
Yeah, the reason for the recommendation is because the entire system is at risk of not being able to pay its bills. When I say the entire system, I mean, you know, in alphabetical order, Castleton University, Community College of Vermont, Northern Vermont University, and Vermont Technical College. And we're trying to do everything we can to ensure that as an entity, we can continue to provide access to Vermonters. But, you know, with 25% fewer seniors in high school compared to 10 years ago, we have a lot of bricks and mortar residential capacity. And, you know, it's been a challenge in recent years. A lot of people have done their very best to meet those challenges. We have downsized. We have tried to create new programs that are in need, new shorter semesters. Online is a complement to the in the classroom and face to face. But when we look forward, it's a situation where we feel that the entire system is in jeopardy without taking action. So that's why, in general, before the COVID-19 situation hit, we were already facing the big challenges of the demographics I just mentioned. You know, I'm certainly not blaming the state, and in recent years, the state has tried pretty hard, and we appreciate that.
Wait, when you say you're not blaming the state, you asked in January for an extra $25 million. Is it not the state's fault? Do you mean the state legislature or something different?
No, I mean the state legislature, you know, has a lot of obligations to meet. And, you know, many legislators like Representative Hill have gone all out for us. And some years we've done pretty well. And other years we don't do as well. This year the governor's recommendation was for level funding, and it looked like that was going to go that way in the House. And that was before COVID-19 hit and, you know, knocked the state revenues for a real loop. So, you know, their ability to respond is greatly diminished. Although we are working as hard as we can to get additional funding from the state and from some of the COVID-19 money that may find its way or has found its way, but without guidance to the state already.
You know, when you hear the leaders in the legislature currently saying they're now going to scramble to try to find at least a year, a bridge year, to try to figure out a fix to allow those campuses to stay open, or what could at least be a more systematic transition for students and faculty and others. You say you don't blame the state, but do you think the legislature saw the urgency of the situation before now? I mean, part of me has wondered, is this a brinksmanship move on your part?
It is absolutely not a brinksmanship move. Absolutely not. It's a move based on the absolute commitment to do what we can to sustain as much of our mission as possible in a rapidly changing world. That's what it's about, Jane. And I feel absolutely terrible about all the stories you just heard on the radio, and I don't know what it was, 6 hours of public testimony yesterday and the hundreds of people that testified and you know, many hundreds more were viewing and sent in thousands of letters and emails over the weekend. And many of them are really, really heart-wrenching. And some of them are from students that, you know, are wondering how they're going to finish up their education. Some are from students that, you know, have already had a college close once and they came here and now it might happen again. And some are from students that, you know, really made a very firm choice to go, but other students that have no option to go anywhere else. And those are all real stories. So, if it wasn't serious, we wouldn't be making this recommendation. But the COVID-19 situation has exacerbated an already serious situation. I mentioned earlier that we knew this was coming our way, and we had a whole process last summer with a white paper that was written and shared and discussed on all our campuses, getting a lot of ideas from people. And there were many ideas that were given, including ones that said you've got too much infrastructure and you've got to consolidate. And some that said, you know, other things like, you know, cut your administration, cut your marketing, you know, a wide range of suggestions were made. And we were working on those on a more deliberate fashion. But, you know, in the COVID-19 world, what used to take 2 years takes 2 months. What takes 2 months takes 2 weeks. And, you know, our losses, you know, we were projecting at the end of the second quarter, so the end of December, halfway through the fiscal year, operating loss of approximately $4.2 million. And our presidents were working very hard to get that operating deficit down. But, you know, it was still going to be probably in the $3 million range at the system level. And then with the COVID-19, you know, the room and board revenues or room and board refunds, which, you know, virtually every state, every college and university in the country felt obligated to do it. And if we didn't do it, and we'd probably be subject to real criticism. And it's great that people feel so strongly they want to forego their refunds. And I hope we can make an opportunity, a meaningful opportunity for them to do that. But that was $5.6 million additional on top of the 4.2, or let's say we can whittle it down to 3. Then we have approximately 3 to 4 other costs, like extended family leave, lost confidence in events, and other expenses that are likely to increase that up to 11 or 12 million. And then we get money back from the federal government. So our deficit in the end gets down to maybe $7 to $10 million, of which probably 5 of that we were not anticipating it this year, and it will drive our cash situation into the negative in the month of June. And that means we start to go into reserves at that point, and that's not a good thing. And we felt, okay, that's where we are now. When we look forward, the predictions across the country are that enrollment's going to be challenged this year. Students are not sure what the future holds, at least in the coming year. Many of their families are struggling with unemployment. And, the estimates are very wide because it's unpredictable, but 15 to 30% decline in enrollment. We're budgeting for 15. And at the system level, and that's another 15 to 18 million dollars in revenue loss. So the COVID-19 situation has unquestionably magnified the challenges facing families, students, and the Vermont State Colleges system.
And did it do it so precipitously? I mean, this is a question we've been getting from a lot of people. And I'll read you two that distill it fairly succinctly. Brady is a Johnson State College class of 2017 alum and a current NVU advisor and adjunct professor, and writes, "In the Senate and House education meetings and a Board of Trustees meeting, Chancellor Spalding, you stated that all other options would be considered before thinking about any closures. So what day over the last 2 weeks did closures move up the list of possibilities? What other solutions that do not contain any closures were considered?" And similarly, Kevin says, "When did this go from a problem that requires changes in behavior to a crisis that requires immediate amputation? Exactly what was the critical piece of information that led to this radical switch?"
The critical piece of information was the impact of COVID-19, plain and simple. That's what that rushed the situation that's causing the cash flow crunch, that is causing the projections for enrollment in the coming year to be so uncertain, but almost certainly negative. And we looked at every opportunity, including what was going to come from the federal government. We have to do the refunds, and we felt, we had an obligation to do that, no matter what the impact was. It was the right thing to do. Can we continue to cut our way out of the situation? What I see on the campus is it's amazing what our faculty and our staff do to make those facilities very nice, and the faculty are committed. But all of our colleges have had to reduce their spending to the point where I don't think we can keep reducing spending and get to where we need to be. So, my judgment was that it would be very difficult in the short run, and I can't deny all the serious impacts that people have expressed very, very articulately, emotionally, heartfeltly, and effectively. And, we will be listening to those. The trustees listened very carefully yesterday. And have welcomed the fact that the legislature, the governor, and our congressional delegation have gotten interested in trying to see quickly, is there something they can bring to the table? If they can, that could make a difference. It's not that it was not brinksmanship. It was based on a conviction that given the scenario that we started to believe was the case in running different modeling scenarios, that we really could not afford to sustain 3 residential career-based liberal arts campuses. And you keep in mind, we have 620,000 people in the state of Vermont. We have a declining number of traditional college-age students that's projected to actually continue to have another major decline starting in 2026. We have a state university. We want to maintain a robust community college system because that's where most of our students, from the full range of traditional to elderly students to non-traditional students, are accessing post-secondary education in Vermont. And we wanted to make sure that we saved important technical programs for Vermont Tech. But we felt, A, first of all, we could not sustain three liberal arts campuses with three football teams, three soccer teams, no football teams except for Castleton, but you know, three athletic programs and all the rest of it, which are really wonderful. But with a small population and increase in costs, you really have to ask yourself, is that sustainable? And one of the other things we noticed in our process last summer and fall, which was obvious, we just documented it and it had no real opposition to it, that student preferences on how they're accessing post-secondary education are continuing to change. And there's always going to be a market for, we hope there's always going to be a market for a residential program, but increasingly students are having to go to college on a commuter basis and not stay in the dorms. They are choosing, their college is based on price, and colleges are cutting their price, and it's not really all that unusual to hear students that could go out of state to an independent college cheaper than they could go to one of their public colleges in state because people are discounting their tuition rate so much. So, you know, and then that doesn't even mention online programs, but, we can argue about how effective they are, but the research has increasingly shown that for many students, they are effective and they can do it while they're working and taking care of children and really have an important place, not to completely replace face-to-face and residential programs, but actually to make the need for those a little less.
Well, let me get some questions in here because we have a lot of people and limited time for you and a lot of people who want to talk with you. So let's go to Lisa, who's calling in from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Lisa. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. My question for the chancellor is regarding the 1,600 students from NVU that there's been no plan for. I would actually like to know if the plan for those students is, in fact, NVU Online, the shiny new online school that will be rising from the ashes of Emerge and two school closures. I wanted to know how much of the rebranding monies were used to create NVU Online, and I want to know if he thinks that's a bait-and-switch tactic perpetrated on the taxpayers and the students.
Lisa, thanks for the questions. Chancellor?
There's three parts of the question there. Not a bait and switch. The reason we chose to unify Johnson and Linden was out of a commitment to do everything we could to sustain those institutions in those parts of the state, recognizing how important they are. And they are. They're important for student access. They're important for the staff and the faculty that work there. They're important for the communities, both the economic and cultural fabric of the communities. So it was an attempt to look at the tea leaves coming forward and say, we've got to do everything we can. And if we can actually reduce administrative costs, increase student opportunities, and do some good marketing, we think we have a good chance of succeeding. And there are different interpretations of it. I think many people would say, some people say it was an intentional way to, destroy them. That's certainly not what it was. It was intended to try to sustain them. But the forces that we identified of what's coming at us in recent years have magnified. They've intensified. They're going faster. And COVID-19, I believe, is going to change the face of higher education for a very long time, not to mention the rest of the Vermont economy and way of doing things.
So Chancellor Spalding, what are students who currently go to NVU Linden or NVU Johnson going to do next year? We heard from one in Nina Keck's great story yesterday here on VPR, who's a mother of four. She says she's got one more year left. She can't move to another campus. She's worried that all of this work she put forward to try to get her bachelor's degree is going to be for naught, not to mention the money. You know, what is the proposal for these students, for those who cannot move down to Castleton, for example?
Well, a lot of them can't move down to Castleton. It's going to be a variety of things. I'm not trying to avoid that, but I did want to finish the previous question and probably ramble too long. NVU Online, or if the chancellor's proposal were enacted, that program would probably migrate down to Castleton, but it would not replace face-to-face. It's a supplement. What we would do for students is still to be worked out if this plan is adopted. It would be, in some cases, figuring out how to deliver those programs using faculty in a commuter-type campus, either a CCV location or perhaps the Due North co-working space in Lindenville. And hopefully get other institutions involved. And the number of students going down to Castleton is, you know, no real way to predict it, but to try to work the budget together, the numbers people picked 400 is what they thought was probably realistic to come, undergraduate, and some more online and graduate. But, you know, it will be a variety of things. You know, don't forget, you know, it's heartbreaking to think this, but we've had four other colleges go out of business in Vermont in the last year, or Marlborough will be done this spring semester. And when a college does that, they work out the best they can transfer agreements. So, for example, when Green Mountain College or Southern Vermont College went out, we had transfer agreements and agreed to take them as we would any other Vermont, at what they were paying or what an equivalent provider would pay. So, you know, and make it very easy. They didn't have to pay application fees or deposits and, you know, try to make it convenient. We would attempt to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying in that framework, but, you know, these are private colleges. They are not beholden to, you know, a statute from the state that they are supposed to provide an education for Vermont students, which is what the state college system is supposed to do. And so, you know, again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there's a lot of blame being thrown around and a lot of people who could take some of that. But ultimately, the question is, how are we serving the students of Vermont who want to get this higher education, who need to get it in many cases to get the jobs they want, and who don't see a path forward? And that is a responsibility of the entire state, you know, not just you, Chancellor, but certainly something that the state has to grapple with, even if we have fewer students, that we have told our students, we will have a way to educate you at an affordable cost. And you've said to the legislature, if they don't fund it at this higher rate, they're saying we're not going to do that. And it looks like is what has panned out. You know, whoever is to blame, that is what it looks like to many students right now.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly Vermont funds higher education at the lowest or second lowest in the country, depending on which metric you look at, right next to New Hampshire. And that is a big part of the problem we face. But it's not the only problem we face. I mean, there are just fewer students. The same thing as in K-12. You can't have the same number of buildings as much as you'd like to with fewer students. And we're in a similar situation. In New Hampshire, they have twice as big a population. In addition to their flagship, UNH, like Vermont, if you're University of Vermont, you take those two out. They have two residential campuses, Plymouth State and Keene State. We have four residential campuses. It's hard to do with the population we have. And, you know, Vermont does have to make choices. Do I wish the legislature was funding us more? Yes, but it's a hard thing to do because a lot of them are trying very hard for us, but it is the fact. We have gone in last year and said, look, you know, we need to get to $25 million more. And by the way, that's the average for the other 2 and 4 year public non-flagship institutions in New England. We know we can't get there in 1 year, but can we get started? We asked for 5, we got 2.5. This year it was level, so we're not making progress. So, I could say that, but I also recognize that the taxpayers of Vermont are pretty stretched, and, you know, they have a lot of other obligations they have to meet in the legislature. And now, which is part of what we're looking at, is, okay, you know, you probably know the figures better than I do, Jay, but because they move around, but the state general fund revenues are down something like $60 million just in the year we're in for the last 3 months of the fiscal year. So, you know, and then it's hard to even predict what's going to happen next year. And the education fund and the transportation fund, they're all, you know, really being hit extremely hard. So if you look at it, say, okay, you know, we made the best case we can. You know, we've pointed out that we are the extension of the public school system in the post-secondary years, that we accept Vermonters that couldn't go anywhere else, that most likely, either because they can't afford to go somewhere or have other reasons why they need to start at a community college or one of our colleges and then continue on from there if it's community college. But, you know, we didn't get there, and now it looks like we're not going to. And instead of, you know, just trying to keep cutting, to the point where students wonder, an increase in tuition, you know, it's not uncommon to hear students say, hey, I'm paying more, why am I not getting more? And we're trying to consolidate resources so that we can sustain a robust community college, the option to attend a residential career-based liberal arts institution with a full array of programs, and also the programs offered by Vermont Technical College. And somewhere in this conversation, you know, I do need to acknowledge the chancellor proposed consolidating Vermont Technical College programs from Randolph Center to Williston. And many of the same issues that are raised for NVU are raised there, too.
Well, and let me read you a note from Will on that, just so we can get more thoughts in here from listeners. Will says, I don't fault Chancellor Spalding for presenting the choice that the state must make in stark terms. The crucial question is, how does the rest of state government respond to the facts as they are? I do fault Chancellor Spalding for the decision to consolidate VTC operations in Williston, a place where there's already lots of economic activity and costs are higher than Randolph. It will not be possible to do the agricultural education in the way that it has been done in the past. So why move all of Vermont Tech operations to Williston instead of consolidating at Randolph?
Well, you know, the reason for moving the programs to Williston is because it is a commuter campus without the heavy infrastructure cost. And when you sort of add the nursing students, which there are some at Randolph but could be positioned elsewhere, and they're in Williston too, and then they're dispersed around the state, and you add those to the students that are actually attending the commuter campus in Williston, although it does have a very small residential capacity, it is like 50% of the students in Randolph and 80% of the overhead, and it needs work. And the farm is a great program, but it desperately needs upgrading, and we don't have the funds to do it. So you really eventually say, look, maybe we should be looking for relationships with other ag programs, like at the Thompson School at UNH, where it's bigger, they have more resources, it's about the best interest of the students, and we need to keep that in mind. Now, Jane, I think I heard we don't have much time left. And
yes.
I do want to, I don't know if that was right or not, but I do want to say to the listeners, you know, the trustees heard what you said. We're glad the legislature and the governor are involved. You know, it is possible that this proposal by the chancellor will be enacted. It's also possible that the trustees will be asking for other alternatives to consider. So just wanted to get that on the table.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you being with us today, Chancellor. And we are going to speak with Churchill Hines, who's the chair of the State College's Board of Trustees, in just a moment. And we can talk a little bit more about what was discussed yesterday at the meeting and where they go from here. But I want to thank you for your time, and I'm sure we'll be talking with you more in the coming weeks and months. Thanks.
I do want to acknowledge what everybody has mentioned, and there are a lot of unanswered questions. I know that. But we feel there is a sense of urgency here to make a decision before we jeopardize the entire system and all the integral parts of the system.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that clarity right at the end here. You know, that is what you're thinking about and you're operating on as you move forward. Thanks very much, Chancellor.
Bye.
That's the State College Chancellor, Jeb Spalding. Joining us now for the rest of the hour is Churchill Hines, chairperson of the State College Board of Trustees. Church, thanks very much for making the time to talk with us.
It's good to be here.
And I'm going to have you listen as we hear from a couple other people who are thinking and worrying and wondering about this, and then we can talk about what you discussed yesterday in the meeting. Here's Emily, who's calling in from Lisbon, New Hampshire. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
What's your perspective?
So I just wanted to put it out there that me, along with many other seniors in high school that chose NVU as our college, it's kind of like our future in a way is being ripped away from us, because my major I would not be able to do online because it's audio production, and it's not really a major that's very close to where I live except at school, so it would be ripping away from me. And I just feel like there's definitely more options that we haven't thought of, because there's always another way to fix things, and it's just really frightening.
Yeah, Emily, I bet it's frightening to be a high school senior in so many ways right now, and then to also worry about the potential closure of the school that you've decided to go to. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. Paul is with us from Concord. Hi, Paul. What about you?
Hi. I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who's been involved in higher education and taught classes at Boston College and Simmons Graduate School of Social Work. I have two points I want to make. The first is it's been In looking at higher education over the last several years, we've seen the corporatization of higher education. So in Vermont, we move from we have all these schools that are ran with relatively small administration to a chancellor's office with 40 employees, and that does nothing to generate students coming into the college. But the more important thing I want to talk about is that I want to urge the board to think about this as an opportunity rather than a crisis. There's two points. I think there's strong movement in the legislature, and I think people really confronted with this reality see the significant importance of these campuses as well as the economic impact on the regions where they exist. And secondly, when we look at the COVID-19 money coming in, I understand it's $1.3 billion into Vermont. I'm not sure people realize, but $50 million is a half a percent of $1.3 billion, a half of 1%. And so there's an opportunity to get some funds in to actually invest in these schools, to strengthen their development offices, to strengthen their outreach, to use the people in the communities and the college and the incredible amount of knowledge and skills and abilities to come together collaboratively to solve this problem.
Yeah, Paul, thank you for that perspective. I appreciate hearing it. And Churchill Hines, you chair the State College Board of Trustees. You had a meeting yesterday that was in the afternoon. It stretched for something like 7 hours. So you have heard these and other perspectives. You've heard a lot of the angst and anxiety and fear and anger that people are expressing. What is the current thinking of the board, and where do you go from here?
The board shares a perspective that these are indeed serious times. And what we've seen with one initial proposal, a good example of where we're going to end up no matter what proposal is chosen, whether that happens soon or a little further down the road. The outcome, the next step in building a new version of the Vermont State Colleges is going to be difficult, it's going to cause disruption, and it's going to create some anxiety. That is going to be inevitable.
When you say you see this as you see the future, whether it's now or not now, do you specifically mean you see the closure of certain campuses no matter what at some point?
I wouldn't go so far as to be that precise, but what we do know is that the current configuration of four colleges and campuses in Williston, Randolph, Castleton, Linden, and Johnson, it's very difficult to envision a future where that's going to be sustainable. We haven't turned over every rock. We haven't looked at every possible scenario. We haven't seen the prospects of the COVID-19 monies that Paul just mentioned. But right now, we don't see the current status, the current operation continuing. Our job is to minimize the disruption, minimize the difficulty, and do all that we can to redesign, reconfigure a Vermont State Colleges that's got legs, that's going to survive and be able to serve current and future students.
So Churchill Hines, in minimizing the disruption and the disturbance to others, you know, I think a lot of people would say, then could we at least have some time to think about the future? Could the legislature have some time to try to come up with a year's worth of money to continue? Could students and faculty and communities have more time to try to figure out what they can contribute or how they could transition? Is that something that you're thinking about now?
We are meeting often with legislative leaders and members of the governor's staff to talk about that precise situation. What can we do despite what I'm calling the emergency of the COVID-19? We were dealing with an urgent situation. Now we have an emergent situation facing the state colleges. What are our options that will allow us to be just a little more deliberate and inclusive in our process? But time is not on our side. We have no ability to wait out for weeks and months before we agree on some broad courses, and that will include some specifics as well.
So when you say you don't have a lot of extra time, you've postponed the vote, you say, for at least a week. The vote was initially scheduled to be yesterday. When do you anticipate voting on the proposal?
It's day by day, Jane. My best guess is that we'll be voting on the proposal in the next 10 days.
And would that be the proposal that Chancellor Spalding put forward, or and then you would have other proposals at the ready to also vote on? Or, you know, how would it work to be fielding these other options at the same time?
We will be voting on a single proposal, whether it looks exactly like was the one that was presented by the Chancellor, or whether it has some modifications. That will play out over these next 10 days. The leadership of our four colleges, the leadership of the Chancellor's office, are working literally night and day, 7 days a week, to chart a course for the future that is minimally disruptive and poses minimal difficulty for our students. But that disruption and that difficulty will still be substantive when it actually occurs.
So what will you do for students in who are going to, you know, if these campuses were to close, for students who live in the Randolph area and can't move, or for students who live near Johnson or Linden and have relied on the availability of that educational expertise in order to get their degree?
We are required, as any accredited college is in a situation like this, to provide an opportunity, a plan for every student. It's referred to sometimes as the phrase to teach out programs, mm-hmm. so that students are not abandoned. That doesn't guarantee a place for everyone, because the other school needs to make a decision about whether or not to admit the student. But we are morally obligated, if you will, by our accrediting agency to provide a pathway for students when an institution has to close a campus.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens. It's certainly a moving target at the moment, and I appreciate your time with us today. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That's Churchill Hines, who chairs the Vermont State College Board of Trustees.